Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. That is true, in fact. So thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We have a fantastic show for you planned this evening. So I hope you're just as thrilled as I am to have you on tonight's broadcast as I am in terms of being here. My co-host will be joining us momentarily, and we also have a special guest that will be coming in and telling you a little bit about herself, as we are certainly looking forward to this. We're going to try to take at least a couple of callers tonight and get their thoughts as well for tonight's broadcast. So I want to just go ahead and thank all of you all for tuning in, those of you all that were able to tune in last week for that show. Why can't men and women simply get along? We got a number of responses relative to that show, and I want to thank all of you all for the calls that you send after the show, as well as your comments that continue to pour in even when the show has ended. So let me go ahead without further ado and bring in my co-host, Mr. Joshua Jackson, student at Florida Memorial University. He's a great gentleman, and he's going to be co-host on here as long as he has the energy to want to do this. So, Joshua, welcome to the show this evening. You're on the air live.
How you doing, Dr. Jesse Walker? It feels good to be back. I hope all our listeners are ready to hear this week's topic, and I hope a lot of callers are ready, eager to put in their input, because last week we had a great show. I hope everybody's ready.
All right. Sounds good to me. Let's go ahead and bring in our featured guest this evening and just get a little spiel on her. Our featured guest is an author. She's also an inspirational speaker, and she's also an educator. And so she brings a lot of positives to tonight's show. So we are certainly looking forward to her thoughts, her comments, and as always, we respect the views over the air from our caller, our listeners, whether it's my co-host or is our guest or featured guest. And certainly, even if we should agree or disagree, we respect the opinions of others over the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you all Dr. Doreen Priscilla Brown. Dr. Brown, it's good to have you this evening, and welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hey, Dr. Walker, how are you? Pleasure. My pleasure.
Great. We're glad to have you. Aside from being an author and an inspirational speaker and educator, Dr. Brown, why don't you tell my listening audience around the world what it is that you do besides those things, and since you are an author, the name of your book, and how people may be able to contact you for further information.
Okay. Do you have 2 hours? I've been around the block a few times, Doc. Okay. Well.
Yes, you do, in fact, have 2 hours, because we can put you on this weekend and then again next week.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It's only because your show is so important and you're such an awesome man why I consented. I run around a lot. Not in that sense, but I move around. I get around. It's very, very busy. But it's a pleasure to be here. And as far as who I am, your guests and also your co-host may be, I haven't met him before. I met you, Dr. Walker. But your co-host may be interested to know that I taught as an adjunct professor at Florida Memorial University from 1997 until about 2.5-3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I taught campaign management and grammar and public speaking and the whole like. So I have history with you as well, so that may be interesting to some of you. But, yes, I'm an author, three books. Actually, I'm on my fourth book, which hopefully would be released before the end of this year. And my current book, I am not ashamed to tell you that my current book my most recent book is Wrinkled Sheets and God's Grace, Reconciliation, Restoration, and Reclamation. And to date, the book is only more than months now. It's over a year. And it has sold 5,000 copies plus. And we're looking to do some more work with that. So that is my most recent big project. I do work for the school board on a part-time basis and travel a lot. I've got some speaking engagements lined up to Central Florida, Barbados, and so on for the rest of the year. I do a lot of women's conferences and prayer breakfasts and so on and so forth. So I'm committed to, you know, the idea, the belief that if I could pour a little into somebody to help to make them a better person, I believe my living would not be in vain. So that's basically what I do. I mentor some girls, and I mean, I just do a whole lot of stuff. Okay. So, Dr. Walker, is that good enough for you? I'm an old
that
broadcaster.
That's fantastic. It's always good when we can find someone that's willing to make that commitment to mentor others. I believe that that's what it's all about. It's about, in fact, mentoring others to the point of, you know, getting the word out there, helping people where the help is needed, certainly. Let's just address Josh, we're going to just take a few minutes and recap last week's show just before we come to tonight's topic. Last week, the question was, why can't men and women simply just get along? And, of course, we had a number of perspectives, and this goes back so far because men and women were just not getting along, and it's been like that for centuries. And I don't think very much has changed today. Maybe technology has come in, and I want to pose this question to Joshua just so that we can have this synopsis of last week's show. Has technology, in your opinion, Joshua, affected the relationship between men and women? You know, where one time they used to talk to each other out at dinner, but now they seem to be on their phones more.
Yes, sir, because now that we have technology like cell phones, the internet, social media, it plays a big role into our relationships, especially when we take away the communication part and head towards our social media. When we go to bashing our spouse or a significant other on social media, those are one of the key aspects of what deters us from love. When we retweet that little, what they call memes, where they say a significant quote that may relate to the situation, and we don't think about our partner's feelings when we retweet these or like these certain things, and it plays a big role into it. So we have to be mindful, especially when it goes down to just the phone itself, because the constant looking at your phone, on the phone, and we're not spending quality time with each other because we're so busy with what's going on around us. And that kind of, that what's going on around us takes us away from actually solving our problems, honestly, because we're so busy. Well, let me just check my phone, see what's going on, or whoop-de-woo-woo. And then it goes to the point where people want to go through each other's phones in relationships, like, what are you doing? What's so interesting in that phone that you just can't give me 10 minutes of your time? So I don't want to rant for too long, but the technology does play a major part in why some relationships don't work.
Well, I certainly do agree with that. Dr. Brown, let's bring you in to chime in on that. Do you think that technology has really affected relationships of today? And if so, why?
Did you ask that of me?
Yes, yes, Dr. Brown.
Oh, okay, sure. Kind of missed that part. Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more, couldn't agree with Joshua more, but I feel just a little different, not a little different, but let me say that I don't think it's just men and women not getting along. I think people on the whole are not getting along. And the same thing applies to a personal, intimate relationship in terms of one person not making, or both people, or neither people making room for the other. I think the same we could say with just regular friends or mother-son, mother-daughter, and children, parents, and whatnot. I think people have grown cold. People have grown cold, and yes, technology does, in fact, have something to do with it. Let me just give you just one little example, and I'll head it back to you, Dr. Walker. I can't tell you how often I'll sit in a restaurant eating and having people over at the other table who are friends with the others, or people sometimes in the same table sitting eating if it's a big table, and they're actually texting each other, and I think that is so crazy. You know, you're sitting next to somebody and you're sending them messages on the phone. It's like, what in the world is going? So then what that does is it takes people away from the idea, from the comfort, okay, of the bond of really getting close to people physically and emotionally. People don't emote well when all you use is the internet. When you use a cell phone or whatnot, there's something about hugging and talking and looking directly in people's eyes and understanding, not just verbally, but non-verbally, what they mean, what they're saying. There's something special about that. And yes, it's true, we've lost so much of that. But let's not blame it all on technology. I think people of age have to make a conscious decision as to where they want their relationship to go. And let's not blame technology. You know, people are intentional about their relationships. They will find ways to build it and to nurture it. Okay.
Okay, so we're not saying that it's all technology's fault. Well, that's an interesting way in, an interesting perspective. All right, tonight's topic, we're going to jump right over to that. Tonight's topic that we're going to be speaking about is, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other? Should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other? And let's start with you, Dr. Brown, just before I read tonight's story. Why don't you tell us the difference between commitment and love, if in fact there is a difference?
I don't think there's a difference. I wouldn't characterize it as that. I don't think there's a difference between commitment and love. I think they go together like horse and carriage, love and marriage, you know, they go together. I don't think that you could have commitment without love. And I don't think
okay.
you could have love without commitment. How about
all
that?
All right, that sounds real good. And in your opinion, what is love and what is commitment? You know, or
I was dying for you to ask me that question, because what is love? I mean, you know, what is love? It is perhaps, and it has been said that it is perhaps one of the most abused words in the English dictionary. Love. What is love? Love is certainly not somebody who turns you on sexually. It's not somebody who is dashing so that you like to be seen with them. It's none of those things. It's not because somebody has some money or something you can gain from it and you're attached to them. That's not love, you see. That's not love. Love is, in fact, a commitment. Love goes deeper than that. I didn't do much research because I didn't think I needed to, Dr. Walker, but I remember one of my humanities class when I was a freshman at University of Miami, way back when. I remember studying Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and do you know that love is not even number one? The first one is self-actualization.
Yeah.
The second one is esteem. And the third is love and belonging. So, you know, this word that's been bandied about, love, you know, I don't think that we really, really understand what that is. I don't think it's something you experience in a day or in an hour. I think it's something that has to grow. Love comes out of, is derived, is developed out of a long-standing relationship. And I think it's multifold, where people see things together as they relate and work together and live together and play together. I think it comes out of that. Someone once said that relationships that were hatched in high school or way back when you're kids and whatnot, have a tendency to be deeper and do much better as the years go by, because the growth process was able to develop. And I really believe that. So what is love? Well, love is not something that happens as far as the moment. It's not where I like his eyes or he likes my eyes or my hair. It's none of that kind of thing. I think those things could supplement and complement later on, but those things are not love. Those things are not love, because you have to be able to love intellectually, you have to be able to love socially, you have to be able, of course, to love spiritually, and it's a whole combination of things.
All right, so then the commitment part comes in, and that's part of the love, is that what you're saying?
You know, you could have commitment without love, you know that. You could be committed to somebody. I don't know if you meaning this in the intimate setting alone, and if I need to restrict my response to you to that. But I do know that you could have commitment out of a sense of duty. And it may not have anything to do with love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, we're going to get ready and go to, just before we go to the story, Joshua, was there anything you felt you wanted to add?
I felt like a lot of what was said was correct, and with commitment, it can turn into just you doing something out of the fact that you don't want to lose the person. That's one of the main things we talked about last week with our topic, that we just don't want to lose people. We want to keep them in our life, so we keep our commitment to the bare minimum of what does our significant other like, just to keep them in our life so we don't lose them, so we won't have that feeling of being alone anymore. So the like she said, the love can be gone out of any relationship, whether it's a friendship, a mother-daughter thing, and the love can really not be there, but you just don't want to let that person go for some reason because you're so used to the commitment and the energy you put into that relationship. And love can be gone. And you can love someone without putting in the commitment, as far as you being with somebody, you guys have both reached the agreement of, I don't want to be committed to you anymore, I want to do my own thing. And you can still sit back and be like, wow, I miss that person. I miss loving that person. I miss being able to just call them and say, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? So I feel as if you were correct with that. So you hit it right on the nail with that one.
And Dr. Walker, to Joshua's point where he talked about wanting to keep that person, for whatever reason, doesn't want that person out of your life. One of the greatest tests of quote-unquote love is that when you can no longer provide what that person is dependent on you for, when you're not able to provide that, watch how that person behaves. It's a big test.
That's the test. That is certainly the test. All right, let's take a look now at let's go ahead and take a look now at tonight's story. Tonight's characters we have in tonight's story, let's bring them to you, Cynthia and, no, that was last week, Cynthia and Belle. We have Edna and Frank. Should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other or your spouse? After only 4 years of marriage, Edna has decided enough is enough. She recently moved out of her gorgeous home of the past 2 years and back with her mother because she feels that Frank's commitment is not reflected in their marriage, despite the fact that he says he loves her. They have been, the couple are both in their early 30s. Frank's claim, let me get to the studio again. Hang on 1 second, you all, because we're picking up background noises. All right, Frank's claim is that Edna appears too needy. She appears to be too needy, which weighs heavily on him, causing him to have very little time for himself with the things that are equally important to him. Now, here are their respective views on the matter. First, we'll begin with Edna's claims. On numerous occasions, when she needs Frank, he insists on being out with his friends and will not attempt to even attend to her needs. She has no problem in Frank telling her how much he loves her whenever he wants to be intimate with her. If his family or friends call him, he does not hesitate to cater to their immediate needs and will actually leave Edna out to dry for countless hours, causing her to worry whether or not he's okay. Now, he allows his family to disrespect Edna by making her feel second best because, in fact, Edna was not their first choice for him to marry, especially when it comes to his three older sisters. Now, on the weekends, Frank spends more time with his family and friends as opposed to taking Edna out like he did when they dated. Now, Frank's claims are because of Edna's desires, he's saying because of Edna's desires to always be in a romantic mood, he feels this is too demanding to spend so much time together when, in fact, he feels they live together and see each other every day. Frank feels his family is equally important as marriage because, he says, his family was there before the marriage, which obviously Edna disagrees that they are on equal par. Frank feels like Edna is too emotional most times and that he is not into the romantic, he's not romantically inclined. Now, the other part is, in fact, Frank feels that like Edna is a hopeless romantic because she watches romantic drama movies and often cries during the movies. At this point in their marriage, it appears they are both frustrated because they feel the love is not enough and need, they feel the love is not enough and need more of a commitment in the marriage and just live and let live, as Frank would say. All right, you know, we start out, Dr. Brown, with the first question by asking you this. Is this a reality for marriage?
Which part of it? That was a nice little case study. Which part of it?
I know. The part that, I mean, the fact that they both have these opposing views and that seem to be heavily inclined. Is this a reality for marriage? You know, let's deal with each issue one at a time. Frank feels that Edna is, you know, too remote, romantically inclined, and he's not with that program. Is that a reality, you know, for your spouse or significant other to say that you're too romantically inclined?
Well, and by romantically inclined, I imagine you mean too sexually alive? Is that what we say?
Well, yeah, romantically. She wants to be cuddled all the time.
Okay, not necessarily. Okay. Well, I don't know, you see. I don't know the extent. There's a difference between wanting affection from your partner and being overly clingy. And I am sometimes there's a thin line. So it's a matter, I guess, of learning your partner and sitting down and discussing some things that are, may not be very romantic. Because if he's clingy and you just want him all by yourself and he can't even visit his mom or say hi to somebody else, then that may not be a situation where the wife or the partner is, you know, where there's a positive, you know. But if somebody just wants to be held, and I'm a toucher, I mean, I'm always touching, okay, but I don't believe I'm clinging. Okay, mm-hmm. So I don't believe that. So I don't know. Sometimes there's a difference. But if one partner believes that the other is too demanding in terms of their intimate attention, whether it's sexual or whether it's otherwise, then I think that's as adults, you should be able to sit down and work that out. And, of course, if you cannot work that out between yourself, I think it's very important that you get help for it, outside help, because it's not a situation that will change on its own. People need an understanding, a clear understanding. And these are some of the things that you want to work out, as a matter of fact, even long before you commit, quote unquote, commit to each other, whether it's by marriage or otherwise. But I don't think it's an intellectual question or it's an academic question. I think that both parties, not just in terms of being romantic or clingy, but in all aspects, I think nothing should be too small or too big for people to sit on the couch and have a nice conversation over tea. And find out where each person is, because you need to know these things can make or break a relationship. So it's not enough for you to just push them aside. You have to sit down and discuss. And one of the things we, particularly people of color, one of the things I find that we're not very good at is emoting to each other, releasing our emotions and saying what we want and what we like and what we don't like. You know, so I think this is a place where we can get people together and, you know, have them express themselves in terms of what their personal needs are. And move on from there.
I think so, too. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second, Josh. We're going to ask you to hold on just for a second. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to first go to New York, 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us this evening. Angela, what do you think? Should your commitment be stronger than your love for your spouse or significant other?
Yes. I think you hit it right on the nail. It's funny, your caller said, when she mentioned the word clingy, it reminded me of my conversation I had with my husband today, because he and I are having a little marital problems for the last week or so, and it's just, I feel like it's not there anymore. Like, we don't do anything together, and I mentioned that to him, like, we got to start back doing things together as a couple, like go to the museum, just take a walk in the park, you know, sit on the bench and just talk to each other, just to see. I don't want him to tell me about his job when he comes home from work, and then that's it, and then he spends most of his time in his own little world, you know, having a little drink, having a little cigarette, and then when it's time to go to bed, he falls right to sleep with no conversation. Like, we'll cuddle, but that's it. And I feel like I'm not getting enough of something from him. I know what it is. We just don't have any time together at all.
Where does the commitment? So does the commitment supersede the love? Do you equate the commitment to the love? What do you do?
Well, he tells me he loves me. We tell each other we love each other. Of course I love my husband. I wouldn't be with him if I didn't love him. But I just think that over the years we have got so comfortable and settled where we aren't doing some of the things that we were doing when we were first married, like the first 10 years. Like, I just want to come home. When he come home, hey, let's go step out for about an hour or so. We don't even have to dance. Just sit down. Because I'm a dancing person. I love to go dance and laugh and talk with people. That's not him. he doesn't like that type of crowd. And so it offends me sometimes when he don't want to go and just do it for me, you know? That's what I be saying in my head. Like, it's not like I'm asking you to do it once a week. Not maybe once a month I ask you to do it, but it's always, I just came home, I've been on my feet all day. You know, I was in the operating room, and for me, I understand what he's saying, his feet is hurting, but I'm your wife, you still have to entertain me, you know, and it requires us to go out and have some us time, and we don't get it.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second, Angela. Let me bring another caller in. Should your tonight's topic, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your spouse? We're going to go to South Florida, 954-206.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. Rose, just simply put, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other or spouse? And what's the difference, if any? Then we're going to go to our feature caller.
I believe that your commitment need to be stronger than your love for your spouse. So I agree with Angela, because you don't always love your spouse. I mean, they get on your nerves at times, and you just don't even like them at that moment. But if you're committed to that person, you're not going to just walk out, or you're not going to not do for that person the things that you would normally do, because your commitment is strong. So what if you did something to me today or yesterday, and I'm just not feeling you at this time? Does that mean I don't do anything for you? Does that mean I just shut down and don't talk to you, or don't, whatever it is that I would do for my spouse, does it mean that I just stop doing it because at this particular time he got me mad? No. So I believe that your commitment should be stronger. And remember, in my book, my thought is that you're not only committed to your spouse, you're committed to God. And so you took these vows in the presence of God. So therefore, even when you're not feeling your spouse, that commitment to God and the commitment you made to your spouse should still be there. Now, I kind of feel how Angela is feeling. I understand her. And I believe, Angela, that sometimes he might not like the same things you like, and vice versa, but there must be some things that you guys like in common. If you guys could probably make a list of the things you like, and he makes a list of the things that he likes, and then bring them together and go through those lists and see if there's anything that you both like together, that you guys can do together, you know, because I understand you love your husband and you want him to do things with you. And sometimes maybe you guys could decide, listen, when we get home from work, the first hour is just for us, nothing else. We are going to maybe sit and talk for 30 minutes, play a game, or do something that you both enjoy doing, because it's not a good feeling if you feel shut out from your spouse, or if your spouse just simply have no time for you, or if you're doing everything by yourself and, you know, your spouse is not even trying to accommodate you. So I believe if you guys, you know, sit down and come up with something that you guys enjoy together. And I'm not sure if you said his feet are tired or if it's yours, but if it's his, maybe you could plan to just, when he gets home, have a basin or something with water to give him a foot rub, you know, have him soak his feet in some Epsom salt and kind of rub it for him. Hey, his feet is hurting. Okay, I'm doing this so that it can hurt less, so he can do something with me that I would like him to do. But, I mean, there are just a lot of things that you guys could probably come up with to spend some time together. There was one time I made I forgot what it's called, but I found it, I think, online, that I made it's like a bassinet with fruits and all kind of thing. It's like an indoor picnic where I spread the blanket out. I brought strawberry and whipped cream and all these things, and I decorate the blanket with all these things and with some roses. And my husband, I invited him to this indoor picnic, and he was very surprised and very happy, you know. So those are the things that you probably can, you know, Angela, sometimes it just takes the female because the men just don't think of all of these things most of the time, at least most men don't. Gotcha. So you might have to just go overboard to kind of woo him back.
Dr. Walker.
Rose, that was certainly a mouthful, and some good points there. Go ahead, Dr. Brown.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that the one thing we probably didn't discover in our case study was how long the couple has been married. How long have they been married?
Oh, they're both in their 30s. 4 years. They've been married now 4 years.
Okay, all right. They've been together 4 years. All right.
They've been married for 4 years, right.
Okay, because one of the things that I believe I could say here with some background is that one or two things probably happening here. This could just be a phase, or there may be some other underlying issues on both sides or one side of this relationship that's impacting. So very often when we see the byproduct of things, we tend to just go there and say, well, he's not doing that, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. What's going on with her, you know, is it because I'm working long hours and all that? It may or may not be any of those things. It could be a little bit. But generally, you know, relationships go in phase, operate in progress in phases. And this may just be a stage, but whatever it is, it's something that needs to be addressed now because it could be the precursor to downhill. You know, you just don't want to go there. But I like what a caller said about doing the little things, the little special things. But generally, Dr. Walker, people know that. People know that this is what they should do. And the fact that they are not doing it, number one, speaks volumes. And number two, so those are things that, I guess, restart the fire. But what you do, you don't just want to restart and have a good night tonight. You want to get to the root of what's going on so you can set up a goal and whatnot, a relationship for the long term. You know, it's one thing to have fun tonight. Okay, that's going to phase out, wear off, die off. And it could be the beginning of starting something, get something going. But generally speaking, if you could get people to open up, I believe in communication. If you could get couples to open up and express themselves without the feeling, without fear of being attacked or judged, I think that is a good thing, because whether or not you have to see a therapist, whether you can act as your own therapist, you'll be able to decide it from there. Whether you need to see a pastor, talk to a friend or whatever it is, but you know, you've got to be willing to open up and not feel. Both parties must ensure that when that happens, they're not attacked, because that could be a permanent turnoff.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Getting to, in law, they have a book. It's called Getting to Maybe. And I would just say here, in the reality, the thick of things, you know, getting to that point, getting your spouse to that point, would probably take like pulling tooth, you know, or pulling teeth. But anyway, Dr. Brown, I'm going to actually stand by a second. Let me bring Joshua in for a second and ask, Joshua, do you think, just briefly here, do you really think that the younger generation would say that there's a difference between commitment and love? And if so, I mean, what are they doing to make this thing last?
Well, honestly, we have to go back to what Angela said and some of her problems. We don't do those as young generations. We don't as often, let me say we don't at all, as often do things that would make our relationship work. As far as the romantic evening, that would be something that even I should think of adding to my plans to keep my significant other happy, because we get to those points where we just feel like distance is the key problem, and we're trying to figure out how did we get here and how are we going to fix the problem. So then it comes to the, hey, we don't communicate, and then normally arguments spark up because
one tries to blame the other for the lack of communication, the lack of time spent. So that's when majority of the problems flare up right there, when we go to pointing fingers instead of just saying, hey, I miss you, you miss me, can we spend some time together? Is Thursday a good day? Can we go back to dating inside of a relationship? We already married. Let's just think about it like that. We're already together. So can we just go on a date? Can we hang out Thursday? You get off work around 5. Don't call it off because, you know, we're good. I know I'm good for that. Hey, something came up. Can we reschedule? No. It really has to be. That's when the love and commitment comes in. I'm committed to fixing my relationship because I love this person and I want to fix it. Now, if we're not looking at it like that, then why are we here? How did we get here? Why are we still in the relationship then if I cannot commit to making time for you? Because I'm the biggest procrastinator, so I speak for a lot of people right now, and I'm good at putting things off, but you have to step up to the plate, because if you don't, you're only going to make your problem worse for once, and then you can potentially lose the person you love because they're getting tired of begging for the bare minimum. That's really what it is, because it goes back down to the bare minimum of a relationship. And if I can't spend time with you, and not just spending time where we just lay here and don't say anything, or like we said in the beginning, the technology wave, just on our phones, on our social media, then that's not the kind of time I'm talking about. Quality time where I can get a good joke out of you or a good smile out of you. Like, how was your day? What did you do today? Why were you upset? Oh, okay, can I fix it? Oh, okay, once we get past the how's your day going, okay, all right, can I go run your bath water on either side? It doesn't have to be the woman running the bath. I like okay. running the bath for my significant other. So it's just little things that we have to do.
All right, I think that that's important. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other? Tonight's characters are Edna and Frank. They've been married just over 4 years. And Edna feels at this point that enough is enough. She's frustrated with Frank because she doesn't feel like, she has no problem with him telling her how much he loves her. But, you know, he's basically using this as an expressive term and not as an action word. So this has actually caused a great deal of frustration to her at this point. And so now, she's got a number of issues with him in terms of his lack of commitment, and he has a number of issues with her. And they seem to be contrary. You know, on numerous occasions, Edna feels that when she meets Frank, he insists on being with his family or friends, and he doesn't even attempt to her needs, especially those of her intrinsic needs. His family or friends call him. He does not hesitate to cater to their immediate needs and will leave Edna out to dry for countless hours. And she gets concerned about him, wondering if he's okay. He won't even give her a phone call to let her know that he is. You know, he allows his family to disrespect Edna because Edna was not really his first, was not his family's first choice for him, especially his three older sisters. You know, then there's the weekends that come around. He spends more time with his family and friends than he does even in taking her out. I mean, who wouldn't get frustrated with that? And then now Frank, on the counter end of this, he sees Edna's desires as too romantically inclined, and he's not with that program. He feels, why does she have to be this way when, you know, they see each other every day because they live together every day, and he just thinks that there's no need for it now. However, when he wants to be intimate, he really knows how to work it, you know, in terms of buttering her up just for that purpose. Now, Frank also feels that his family is equally as important because he says his family was there before he got married. And even though Edna respects that, she just feels that they should not be on equal par. You know, Frank feels like Edna is too emotional most times. She even cries through movies. And let me just ask, let me go to Angela and ask Angela this question here. We've got about 15 minutes before we bring the show to a close, and we've got a number of comments that have come in, so we're going to have to get to some of these comments, so we're going to ask you all to bear with us. Angela, but I do want to ask you this particular question, and that question is, is there a problem because she cries during the movies, showing her emotions, these romantic movies?
I don't think so. I saw through the movies, especially sci-fi and drama. So I don't see what the problem is.
Okay. Does that mean that she's, I mean, would you, I mean, here we're talking about Edna and Frank. You know, I mean, from my perspective, I don't see those things that Edna is desiring from her spouse. I don't see that as being necessarily too needy. I just think that those are things that I would think that would come natural from a man who claims to love his wife, or if it were the other way around, would be, you know, would just be natural. You know, instead of him saying, well, why she got to cry through in a movie? I mean, Everybody's emotions are different. Give me your thought on that, and then we're going to go to Dr. Brown.
I think he's married to his family more than his wife, and he's an entertainer. He loves to entertain people, and that's not his wife. And I think he doesn't include her in on a whole lot of stuff, or maybe she never have her family does. Maybe she hasn't had a family that did the same things that her husband and his family do. So that's a big difference right there. Like, I'm married to someone who siblings are 15 or 20 years older than him, and they never did family stuff. But then when my family get together, his eyes get big. He can't believe that we're all sitting around and talking and drinking and having so much fun. Nobody wants to go to bed, you know. And then when the real stuff starts, like the fighting and bickering and arguing, he doesn't know how to handle those situations because he's never been in those situations because his family dynamics isn't the same as mine.
All right, okay. Let me bring Dr. Brown in, then we're going to bring Rose back in. And Dr. Brown, let me begin asking you, if you were to counsel Edna and Frank separately, what might you tell them? Because remember now, Edna has moved out of her home, and, you know, they're separated. And she feels now it's enough is enough. What would you tell her based on all of the information that she has presented? And then we're going to ask, what would you tell Frank, you know, if you had to counsel them separately? And then what might you tell them if you counseled them jointly? And just brief, please, because we're going to I got to take some of the comments.
Yes. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to answer your first question. Well, I'm going to answer your question in two words for each of these, each of the parties, and that is get help. Let me just say this. Take exactly 20 seconds to do it, Dr. Walker. Let me just say this. I believe that society has come to believe that all two people have to do is get together and they have a good relation. They could work out a good relationship after the fact. I believe that the vast majority of us don't understand what relationships are all about, don't know what it is to be intimate, don't know what it is to forge a good marriage or good relationship. We just don't know. We have not been taught. What we've seen around us has not been so very attractive. We just don't know. We don't understand. We think we do. I believe that if someone, a number of people were to get together and open a relationship school, okay, university, school, academy, I think they would become a billionaire in less than 5 years because people just don't know. Men don't know how to treat women. They don't know how to allow people to be themselves. They don't know boundaries. They just don't know. They're kind of like going thinking that if we could get it going together physically, we'll end up with a good relationship, and that is such a joke because once the honeymoon is over, then what? I believe that people just don't know. It's not that they're bad people or they're trying to be difficult. It's just that people don't know. And my grandmother used to say, people can't give you what they don't have. People just don't know how to forge relationships. It's not that easy. Relationship requires work and, of course, a lot of prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Because when you're going to take somebody out of a totally different household setting and you coming from a different one and you merging those two minds together, that's not an easy thing. Relationships have to be built, and it calls for patience, it calls for all those things. But more importantly than anything else, next to prayer, You've got to allow people as far as possible to be who they are. Don't take people's self from them. And sometimes, I know I used to be guilty of this years ago, you're trying to take people and turn them into what you want them to be. People are on couches and they're not your little dolls. You have to allow people to be themselves, and I think that is very, very important. People are not behaving well in relationships because, quite frankly, they don't know how.
All right. Well, thank you. Dr. Brown, we're going to ask you to hold on a second. I've got to take some of the comments, you all. We have 8 minutes to close the show out, and we're going to try to squeeze in about 5 comments. Let's go to Rose real quick. Rose, there were a number of things that were said, and one of those I want to go to you on and just quickly get your view on this one. Dr. Brown mentioned that, you know, people are not allowed to be themselves. Why is that so important?
Well, I have to totally agree with Dr. Brown, is that if someone tries to take a person of who he or she is, there's no way that person can be happy. Okay?
Right.
And so you find that that person is going to have a dislike for his or her partner because now you're trying to make that person into what you want that person to be, and that person is that putting a square in a round hole, a square peg in a round hole. Okay, it just can't fit, and that person might try their best to fit into the mold you're trying to put that person in, but over time, that person is not going to be happy because that person is who he or she is, and I've always thought that if someone can't accept the person, then that you don't need to be with that person.
That's right.
As an adult, you have to accept the person the way that you married the person, knowing the person this way when you were dating them. So therefore, getting married and trying to change that person to who you want he or she to be is not a pretty thing. And that person will grow dislike for their spouse if they're trying to make them into who they're not.
Interesting perspective, Rose. We thank you for that. Let me bring Joshua. We have about 5 minutes, you all. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to all of these comments, but we're going to stand by, and I'm going to give each one of you all one. Please, I don't want to be rude and cut people off, but we need you to speak 15 seconds or less. Let's take some of these comments. We're going to try to squeeze in at least 5 because we're coming to the end of tonight's broadcast. This mail writes in, Josh, we're going to give you the first one. He says, in reference to tonight's topic, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other? He says, personally speaking, I think your love should be stronger because love should include your commitment, as mentioned in tonight's broadcast. Joshua, what do you say about that?
Yes, sir. Those are coherent to each other. If you love somebody, you should have the equal amount of energy and ambition to be there for the person, and that's a part of the commitment. Just being there, being that rock, the backbone, the best friend, the parent, the teacher, all of those roles become one once you're in a relationship with somebody.
All right, Angela, we're going to squeeze in this next one and give it to you. This female writes in, she says, I think your commitment should be stronger because there are times that you may not feel like you are in love with your spouse, but your commitment to the relationship or marriage kicks in. Just like Rose said on tonight's broadcast, you still continue to do those things, even though you don't feel the love or the liking for the person. Therefore, I think commitment should overrule. Angela, what do you think?
I agree with that comment, Dr. Walker. A lot of times, you know, I do get mad at my husband about him not being committed to certain things that we should do more things as a couple. And even if I suggest certain things, you know, I'll say, okay, it's your night to suggest something. And he'll still bring it back to me where I'm making all the decisions. And so I have to let him know how important it is for him to do it because I want us both to be able to have fun and everything not be left up to me. So I do agree with what the caller says.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Rose. Rose, we're going to give you the next comment. This writer writes in, she said, in reference to tonight's topic, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other? She says, to tell you the truth, I am confused and would love to have your guests explain to me, any of your callers, which is most important? I thought they were equal when it comes to commitment and love, but now I'm not sure. Would appreciate your help in understanding this better. All right, what are you saying? They're confused about commitment and love. You know, they're completely confused. What are you saying?
Well, I can give my view, and my view is that, like I said earlier, for me, commitment needs to be a little bit stronger. Initially, yes. I would think initially the love would be stronger, but as you grow older together, your commitment also grows. And when you're not feeling the person, that commitment is still there. The love can't really go. The love might say, I don't feel like working. I don't want to love you. I don't want to cook for you today. I don't want to go and work. But because you're so committed and you want your partner to have the best of everything, or you want to be able to afford to give your partner this, you go to work, you're committed, you do the things that you know that your partner is going to enjoy because you're committed to this person. I would say to the person who wrote that comment in is that they go hand in hand, okay? They really go hand in hand. You have to love the person in order to be committed to the person. But even when you're not feeling the person, you're not feeling like you love the person today, that commitment is still there. So you're still not going to do anything to hurt the person because of that commitment.
All right. That's an interesting view as well. Dr. Brown, let's bring you in and give you this one. In fact, the last two, we can squeeze them in the next 20 seconds each one. This male writes in, he says, I think both should be equal in terms of relationships, but if I had to pick one, it would be commitment because, like it has been previously stated, commitment extends beyond love. People seem to treat love more like a feeling rather than an action word. Dr. Brown, how true is that, if at all?
Well, commitment is something, but it's very nature that's enduring. Love, whatever we make of that nowadays, it's something that has a connotation more fleeting, on and off. But when you commit it, it means that no matter what happens, you're going to stay in it for the long haul. So I think commitment trumps, no pun intended, commitment trumps trumps love by far.
Go ahead.
Could I just throw a couple detach? I really want your listeners to kind of hear this. There's three little things I want to say. Most of us learn on the job. We've had no good role models, and we learn on the job. And that's a shame because marriage shouldn't be an apprentice. And the other thing is, number two, you will not change the other person. For heaven's sake, ladies in particular, get it. You will not change the other person. Know what you're getting into for it go. And the last thing I want to say is work on it. Pray on it. Marriage is a serious thing, and it is not a fantasy. It requires lots of work. Be blessed.
All right, then, Dr. Brown, let's just take this last one. We're going to give it to you. This is all we have time for, and we got to be brief on this one here. This female, she says, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your significant other? Commitment, without a doubt, is better because when you are liking your spouse or significant other, you're still committed to the – when you are not liking them, you're still committed to the relationship, which goes far beyond and actually equates to love itself. I know you've mentioned a lot in that, but does it really equate to love itself, commitment?
You cannot separate them. They're not two separate entities. It has to be – If it's going to be enduring, if it is what it's supposed to be, if love is what it's supposed to be, then how can it be love without a commitment to love?
Right. Dr. Brown, we're going to give you the final word. Is there any way that, you know, you're an author, we want to mention your book, and if people want to get, you know, call you for more information, how do they reach you? And the name of your book again?
Yeah, sure. The last book, the most recent book, is Wrinkled Sheets in God's Grace. And right now my website is under repair, under renovation, but they can always text me at 305-318-7387, 305-318-7387. I'm going to look forward for your text. Once again, 305-318-7387. Text me and we'll talk.
All right. Sounds real good. All right, we are out of time. Josh, did you have anything that you just briefly want to say for our listeners? Anything that you want to just throw in the next 10 seconds or not?
Who leaves
Josh?
A comment?
Yeah, go ahead. Just give a 10-second comment.
I want to thank all the callers and everybody who leaves comments. I would like to thank the guest speaker, Ms. Brown. You have gave excellent insight, even for me being a young millennial. I take a lot of knowledge in from everybody who calls in, and I just thank you guys for all the work you guys have done for us.
Okay, excellent. On that note, we're out of time. I want to go ahead and thank my featured guest this evening, Dr. Brown, for being our featured guest. It was a pleasure having you, Dr. Brown. We look forward to you coming back to the show at some time in the near future.
God bless you.
All right, sounds good. Join us next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, where our topic will be, is there a difference between being religious and spiritual? Is there a difference between the two, being religious or spiritual? You don't want to miss that show. Of course, join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass this Friday, join us back here live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless. And thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.